بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 13th hadith, which has been narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, an Abi Hamza, Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, خادم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه رواه البخاري ومسلم. This hadith narrated by Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, and he is خادم رسول الله, he is the servant of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, none amongst you truly believes until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. And the hadith is collected in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the first thing that we need to study and know is the narrator of the hadith. The narrator of the hadith is the famous virtuous companion, Anas ibn Malik ibn Nadhr al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu wa ardah, and he is also known as Khadimu Rasulillah, the servant of the house servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is a title or a term which he himself used to mention regarding himself, that he is Khadimu Rasulillah, that he is the servant or the help of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was proud over this term. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him the kunya Abu Hamza, and his mother, she is Ummu Sulaym radiyallahu anha. Anas ibn Malik, he was from the younger companions, and he was born 10 years before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made hijrah from Mecca to Medina, Anas ibn Malik, he was only 10 years old. And he was known as being Khadimu Rasulillah. He was known for serving and aiding and helping the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the affairs of his house. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took him as a Khadim. He himself, he narrates the story, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he first came from Mecca to Al-Madina, Anas says, أَخَذَتْ أُمِّي بِيَدِي, that my mother, she took me by my hand. And he was only 10 years old at that time. وَانْطَلَقَتْ بِي إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she took me to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as soon as he entered into Al-Madina. فَقَالَتْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, she then said, O Messenger of Allah, إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَبْقَى رَجُلٌ وَلَمْ رَأَةٌ إِلَّا وَقَدْ جَاءَكَ بِتُحْفَةٍ, that there is no man or woman in Medina except that they have brought a gift to you. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come to a new city, then the Muslims, they came out and they brought gifts to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She said, وَلَا أَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ, but I don't have the ability to give you a gift because of poverty. She said, إِلَّا بْنِي هَذَا, accept this child of mine, this son of mine. فَخُذْهُ, so take him. وَلْيَخْدِمُكَ مَا بَدَى لَكَ, and then he can serve you according to whatever you need. فَقَبِلَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, so the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, he accepted this offer. And then Anas ibn Malik, he became Khadimun Nabi, the helper or the maid or the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And because of this, Anas ibn Malik, he learnt much knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. and he learned from the manners and the morals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was able to see from the Prophet what many other companions do not see, because he was always around him in his house, taking care of his personal needs, helping him make wudu and other things like this. So because Anas ibn Malik had an intimate relation with the Prophet, in that he was always with him and always around him and dealing with his personal affairs, he was able to learn things from him and narrate from him that which other companions could not do. And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he was amazed by the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in dealing with him for over 10 years. And he himself, he says, خَدِمْتُ النَّبِيَّ sallallahu alayhi wasallama 10 sinin. I served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for 10 years. فَمَا ضَرَبَنِي ضَرْبَةً, and he never hit me. وَلَا سَبَّنِي سَبَّةً, and he never insulted me. وَلَا عَبَسَ فِي وَجْهِي, and he never frowned in my face. وَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَطْ, and he never said to me, أُف. And أُف is an expression of rebuke used by the Arabs. So he never even said أُف to him, ever. وَلَا لِمَ صَنَعْتَ, and he never said to me, why have you done such and such? وَلَا هَلَّا صَنَعْتَ, and he never said to me, if only you had done such and such. وَلَا لِشَيْءٍ تَرَكْتُهُ لِمَ تَرَكْتَ, and he never rebuked me over something which I have not done by saying, why have you not done this? He said, وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ خُلُقًا, and the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was the best of the people in his manners. وَلَا مَسَسْتُ حَرِيرًا وَلَا شَيْئًا أَلْيَنُ مِنْ كَفِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and I never touched silk or anything which was more soft than the palm of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَلَا شَمَمْتُ مِسْكًا وَلَا عِطْرًا قَطْ كَانَ أَطْيَبُ مِنْ عِرْقِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and I never smelt fragrance, nor any perfume which was more fragrant than the sweat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَحْسَنِ النَّاسِ خُلُقًا, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was from the most virtuous people in his manners. أَرْسَلَنِي يَوْمًا لِحَاجَةٍ, one day he sent me to fulfill a need. فَقُلْتُ وَاللَّهِ لَأَذْهَبْ, so I said, by Allah, I will go. He said, فَخَرَجْتُ, so I left the house. حَتَّى مَرَرْتُ عَلَىٰ صِبْيَانٍ, until as I was going to this need, I came by a group of children who were playing. وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ فِي السُّوقِ, and they were playing in the marketplace. So Anas ibn Malik, he had been ordered to go fulfill a need of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He left the house. On the way, he met a group of children who were playing. So he stopped by them and he started playing with them. He said, فَإِذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ بِقَفَايَا, and then all of a sudden, the Messenger of Allah is holding me by my neck, مِنْ وَرَائِ, from behind me. فَنَظَرْتُ إِلَيْهِ, so I looked at him, وَهُوَ يَضْحَكْ, and he was smiling and laughing. فَقَالَ يَا أُنَيْسِ, and then he said, O Unais, ذَهَبْتَ حَيْثُ أَمَرْتُكْ, did you go to that which I told you to go? قُلْتُ نَعْمْ الْآنَ أَذْهَبْ, I said, yes, now I will go. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had sent him on this need, and on the way, Anas ibn Malik, he was delayed, he was distracted, he was only a child, maybe 11, 12, 13 years old. And therefore on the way he started playing with the children. And some time passed by. So much so that he was surprised when the Prophet came behind him. But did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rebuke him? Or shout at him? Or was he angry? He turned around, وَهُوَ يَضْحَكْ, and the Prophet was smiling and laughing. And then he gave him a nickname, يَا أُنَيْسِ, meaning young Anas, O young Anas. And then he reminded him, did you do that which I told you to do? And then Anas said, yes, I will go and do it. And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he died on Friday, 93 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was from the last companions who passed away. From the last companions who passed away, 93 hijri was Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. As for the last companion who passed away upon the face of the earth, then he is Abu Tufail, Amir. And he passed away, I think 103 Hijri of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wallahu a'lam. So this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That nobody amongst you will truly achieve iman until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. This hadith is a great principle of the Sharia relating to the ties of brotherhood between the Muslims and al-ukhuwa al-islamiyya, and the brotherhood which is based upon Islam or based upon iman. And before we start studying the hadith, we have to understand, when we say al-ukhuwa al-islamiyya or al-ukhuwa al-imaniyya, the brotherhood based upon Islam or the brotherhood based upon iman, what is meant by this? First of all, these ties of iman which exists between the brothers, they make us brothers between each other and sisters between each other. And this blessing is only for the ummah of al-Islam. So there is no other ummah, no other country, no other tribe which has this type of relationship like the Muslim ummah has. That you can take a person from the west and he meets a person from the east, and the only common thing that they have between them is La ilaha illallah. Their language is different, their skills and their desires are different, and their ethnicity is different, and their race is different. They are thousands of miles apart from each other, and yet they are brothers to each other. And this ukhuwa, this rabita, these ties and this brotherhood has been established in many ayat of the Quran and many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. And the word innama, as you know, yufidul hasr. The benefit of this word innama is restriction. Meaning when Allah said innamal mu'minuna ikhwa, it doesn't only mean the believers are brothers, it means the believers are nothing else except brothers. It is only the believers. This brotherhood, the word innama, it restricts it. That this brotherhood, this ukhuwa, it is only for the people of al-Islam. And also notice in this ayah, Allah did not say إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ كَإِخْوَةً, that the Muslims or the believers are like brothers. He did not say كَالْإِخْوَةً, like brothers. He said إِخْوَةً, they are brothers. And this is even more emphatic than saying we are like brothers to each other. We say we are brothers to each other. And this opens a great door and a great relationship for every single Muslim. That as soon as you see another Muslim who says La ilaha illallah, regardless of how much or how less you know him, then he is a brother or a sister to you. And there is unity between you and between him or her. Ya akhi al-muslimi fi kulli makanin wa baladi, anta minni wa ana minka karuhin fi jasadi. Like the poet said, O my Muslim brother, in every land and in every place, you are from me and I am from you, like a soul in a single body. And also this ukhuwa, this brotherhood, is one of the greatest blessings Allah has blessed us with. And he reminded us of this blessing in the Quran. Allah said, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Allah said, and remember the blessing of Allah upon you when all of you were enemies to each other, and then Allah united your hearts. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And then by His blessing and by His virtue, you became brothers to each other. Before al-Islam came to Mecca and al-Madinah, that was that which was known regarding the Arabs of Jazirat al-Arab or Hijaz especially, is that they were tribes and factions who were in constant war with each other. And maybe a war would last for 10, 15 or 20 years over the slightest of things. And even in Al-Madinah, the two famous tribes from the Ansar, Al-Aws wal-Khazraj. And these two famous tribes from Al-Madinah, they were known for the wars which were continually taking place between each other for decades. These wars were carrying on. And subhanAllah, just with the entrance of Islam into Al-Madina, Al-Aws wal-Khazraj, they became brothers to each other. So there was no charter, there was no alliance which was signed, there was no big meeting which took place between the nations. It was only Al-Islam. Al-Islam came to Al-Madina, and these two massive tribes, Al-Aws wal-Khazraj, who have a history of violence and infighting and civil war, they became like brothers. And this is what Allah reminds them with. He reminds the Ansar, he reminds Al-Aws wal-Khazraj. He says, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ, and make mention of this blessing which Allah blessed you with. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَى, you were enemies to each other. For decades and decades you were fighting with each other, and nothing was able to unite you. What united you? فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ, it was Allah through His Islam, through His Messenger, who brought your hearts together. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا, and then you came brothers by His blessing. So, and there are many, many ahadith which teaches these meanings. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Al-Muslimu lil-Muslimi kal-Bunyan. A Muslim to another Muslim is like the example of one single building. Yashuddu ba'duhu ba'da. It strengthens each other. وَشَبَّكَ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِهِ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he clasped his fingers like this. This is the example of the believers. And this is the firmest handhold that a person can take. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Muslimu mir'atun li Muslim. A Muslim is like a mirror to another Muslim. And in another hadith, the Prophet said, Al-Muslimuna kal-jasadil wahid. That the Muslims are like a single body. If one part of the body is hurt, then the whole body stays awake at night or develops a fever. And therefore, from the indicators of a person's iman is to be pleased with that which the ummah is pleased with, and to be saddened by that which the ummah is saddened by. From the iman of a Muslim is when some goodness touches another Muslim, it makes you happy. And when some sadness touches another Muslim, it makes you sad. And this ukhuwa, this brotherhood, and these ties of Islam and Iman which Allah has blessed us with, it has certain obligation and certain rights that we have amongst each other. So the first of the rights of al-ukhuwa, huququl ukhuwa, the rights of Islamic brotherhood, the first of them is love and compassion and care for each other. And this love and compassion, this is for the sake of Allah. In fact, this love and compassion which we have for each other as brothers and sisters is an extension of the love that we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we seek closeness to Allah through our love of the ummah. We consider it to be ibadah. We consider it to be the worship of Allah that we love other Muslims. And from the requirements of loving Allah and loving Tawheed is loving those people who Allah loves. And from the extension of loving Tawheed is loving the people who are the people of At-Tawheed, meaning anybody who says and lives upon La ilaha illallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made loving each other as Muslims as an indicator of iman. He said, "La tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tu'minu." You will not enter into Jannah until you have iman. "Wala tu'minu hatta tahabu." And you will not have iman until you love each other. Then he said, "Afala adullukum ala shay'in law fa'altumuhu tahabbtum?" Should I not tell you of something that if you do this, then this compassion and love will foster in your hearts? He said, "Afshu salama bainakum." Give each other salam. Salam to the one you know and salam to the one who you do not know. So this is the first obligation and the first right we have upon each other as Muslims. Whether you know the person or you don't know the person, love and mutual care and affection, and this is for the sake of Allah. And it is an extension to loving at-tawheed. And then an indicator of this love is giving salam to each other. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that one of those matters which the Yahud are jealous over you, they envy you over, all Muslims, is giving salam to each other. The second right and obligation that this ukhuwah, these ties of brotherhood, they obligate upon us is using soft words and having a gentle nature and having a smiling face when you meet your Muslim brother. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, say to the people goodness. And he said, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّذِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, and say to my servants, my worshippers, that they should only speak with goodness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, وَطَلْقُ الْوَجْهِ عِنْدَ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَةً, that having a smiling, jovial face in front of your Muslim brother is a form of charity. Also, from the rights of Muslim brotherhood is lowering the wings of humbleness and modesty and mercy with each other and being humble in front of each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions. He said, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, and those who are with him, أَشَدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, they are severe upon the people of kufr, but between each other, رُحَمَاء, they are people of mercy with each other. And Allah ordered his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was already the most gentle of people, he said, وَخْفِذْ جِنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, he said, and lower your wing, meaning lower your wing of mercy and kindness and gentleness to those people who follow you from amongst the believers. Also, from the rights of brotherhood is giving nasiha to each other, sincerely advising each other. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, three times he said, ad-deenu nasiha, ad-deenu nasiha, ad-deenu nasiha. The religion is nothing else except sincere advice. And then later on he said, to the common people, meaning the Muslims amongst each other and the rest of the people. Also, from the rights of brotherhood is following the janazah and visiting when you are sick and returning the salam and accepting the invitation to a walima. This is also from haqqul muslim ala al-muslim, the right of a Muslim upon another Muslim. Also, working with each other in that which benefits and helps us. This is how the Muslims should be. A close society who work with each other to help each other. Because Allah said, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, that you as Muslims, you should cooperate and help and support each other upon righteousness and upon piety. Also, from the rights of brotherhood is not being envious and jealous of each other, and also seeking forgiveness for each other. This is also from the ties of brotherhood. And Allah said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ, and those people who come after them, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ, they say, oh Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers who came before us upon iman. So seeking forgiveness. And also they say, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and O our Lord, do not place any ghil, any spite, any envy, any malice in our heart towards those people who have iman. So this is also from the rights of the brotherhood which is based upon iman. And also from the rights of iman is helping the one who is oppressed and helping the one who is an oppressor, both of them. You help the oppressor and you help the one who is being oppressed. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Unsur akhaka zaliman kana aw mazlum, help your brother whether he is the one who is doing the oppression or whether he is the one who is being oppressed. So the companions, they misunderstood, they didn't understand. We understand helping the oppressed. This is natural that you have to help the person who is being oppressed. But how can we help the one who is oppressing other people? So one amongst them, they said, Ya Rasulullah, أَنْصُرُ إِذَا كَانَ مَظْلُومًا. I know how to help my brother when he's being oppressed. أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِذَا كَانَ ظَالِمًا كَيْفَ أَنْصُرُهُ. But if he is the one who is doing the oppression, doing the ظلم, how can I help him? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, تَمْنَعُهُ مِنَ الظُّلْمِ وَهَذَا نَصْرُهُ. Stop him from his oppression, and this is helping him. So stopping the oppressor from his oppression and warning people against his oppression and against his crimes, this is also from helping your Muslim brother. So these are some of the rights that we have upon each other as Muslims. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا يؤمنوا. And the word لا, it is for النفي, meaning something is being negated. What is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam negating? He's negating iman. So he's saying, you do not have. When he said la, this is an-nafi. You do not have. What do you not have? You do not have iman. And why do you not have iman? Because you do not love for your brother that which you love for yourself. So here iman has been negated from those people who do not love for their Muslim brother that which they love for themselves. However, we have to understand that there are two levels of iman. There is al-aslul wajib and there is al-kamal al-wajib. Al-aslul wajib is the core level of iman which you have to have. And if you don't have this core level of iman, you are no longer a Muslim. So if a person, he does not have iman in Allah, he's a murtad, he is an apostate, he has left the religion of Islam. If a person, he negates his iman in the final day, he says, I don't believe in Yawm al-Akhir, he's no longer a Muslim. Because these matters are from aslul iman and al-asl al-wajib. This is the core level of iman which is an obligation upon you. Then there is al-kamal al-wajib. Then there is a level of iman which you should do to perfect your iman and to complete your iman. And this is al-kamal al-wajib. So this is also an obligation. It is also an obligation upon us to try to increase our iman and perfect our iman. However, if a person does not fulfill this, he remains a Muslim. He remains a Muslim, but he is deficient in his iman. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, none of you has iman until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself, which type of iman is he negating? He is not negating aslul iman. Rather, he is negating kamalul iman. He is negating the perfection of iman, the true essence of iman, and he is not negating the core level of al-iman. Meaning, if a person believes in Allah, believes in the final day, believes in at-tawheed, and then he has jealousy towards other Muslims, Does this now mean that this person is an apostate and he does not have iman? No, it does not mean this. And nobody interpreted and understood it in this way. Rather, it means that this person hasn't reached the essence of iman. He hasn't understood really what iman requires from him. So these are the two levels of iman. Al-aslul wajib and al-kamal al-wajib. The core obligation and then the obligation to perfect and better your iman. The meaning which we deduce from this is explained by another narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yablughu 'abdun haqiqat al-iman hatta yuhibba lin-nas ma yuhibbu li nafsi." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person will never reach the essence of iman until he loves for the people that which he loves for himself. So this other narration, it helps us understand the previous narration. Now sometimes, in fact, in many ahadith, we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam negating something in its totality because of a small bit which is deficient. And this doesn't mean that that matter is negated in totality. Now we have to understand this. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he negated iman in its totality. He said, "La yu'minu ahadukum," that you do not have iman. until you love for your brother that which you love for yourself. Even though the wording of the Prophet is لا يؤمن أحدكم, that the Prophet is negating the totality of Iman, this isn't the understood meaning. So for example, in the other hadith, the Prophet said لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will not enter into Jannah until you have Iman. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. And you will not enter and you will not have Iman until you love each other. Even though the Prophet ﷺ, the wording shows a negation of the totality of Iman, this is not the meaning which is understood. Because sometimes in the text of the Sharia, the Prophet ﷺ may negate something in totality. However, only a deficiency is understood. For example, to make it clear, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith, "La salata bi hadrati ta'am," that there is no prayer for the person who prays whilst there is food present. La salata, and this is la an-nafi. The Prophet is negating the salah of a person who prays whilst food is present. Now, does this mean that if a person prays salah and there is food present, then that salah is not accepted from the person, and he has to repeat the salah after he has eaten the food? No. So even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he negated salah, it isn't a negation in its totality. What does the hadith mean? It means that if food is being served and a person desires food, and instead of doing this he goes and prays, will he be able to concentrate fully upon the salah whilst he's hungry and he's desiring that food and the food is in front of him? No, he will not be able to do so. So even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he negated salah, what is meant is the completion of the salah or the perfection of the salah. Meaning a person will not be able to perfect the salah because he's not concentrating. Why is he not concentrating? Because number one, he's in a state of hunger. Number two, he's desiring food. And thirdly, the food is in front of him. So go eat first and fulfill your desire, and then you can concentrate on your salah. So this is found over and over again in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does this hadith mean? It means that from the branches of Iman and from the qualities of Iman which make up the essence of Iman is that a person loves for his brother that which he loves for himself, and also the opposite, that he hates for his brother that which he hates for him, for himself. And the higher you have this type of feeling, the higher your level of Iman is. And the weaker this feeling is inside you towards the other Muslims, then the weaker your Iman is. And this is the meaning of لا يؤمنوا, that you do not truly achieve Iman, or you will not attain the perfection of Iman, or you will not attain the essence of Iman until you love for your brother that which you love for yourself, until you dislike for your brother that which you dislike for yourself. So that which pleases your brother, it pleases you, and that which harms your brother, it harms you. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with his companions. Allah said, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. Verily, a messenger has come to you from amongst yourselves. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. That which troubles you, it harms him even more. The difficulties that you go through, he feels the pain before you feel the pain. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ. It is a big deal with him. مَا عَنِتُّمْ. Any anxiety which you, the rest of the companions, go through. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That none of you truly believes until he loves for his brother. When the Prophet said he loves for his brother, who is talking about? The brothers and sisters of Iman, meaning the one who says La ilaha illallah. And pay attention to this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not say in this hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه السلفي ما يحب لنفسه. That none of you truly believes until he loves for his Salafi brother that which he loves for himself. He did not say حتى يحب لأخيه الحنفي الحنبلي حتى ما يحب لنفسه. That he loves for his Hanafi brother or his Hanbali brother that which he loves for himself. So this love that we have, it is for every single Muslim, regardless of his madhab and regardless of his way and regardless of his school, as long as he's a person of Iman. If he says La ilaha illallah and he has Iman in Allah and the final day and the messenger and everything else which is necessitated, then we love for him that which we love for ourselves. However, the love between the Muslims, it goes up and it goes down. So the love is not all equal. The basic love we have to have for every single Muslim, regardless of their madhab, regardless of their manhaj, regardless of the school of thought that they ascribe to, we have to love each other as Muslims. We have to love for them what we love for ourselves. We have to dislike for them that which we dislike for ourselves. However, then between the Muslims, the love, it can differ. So we love Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu a love that we don't love the common Muslim with. Why? Because of the Iman and the Sunnah and the Taqwa which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had. And we love a righteous Muslim more than we love a Muslim who is disobedient. Why? Because of the righteousness and the Taqwa which he has. And this is الْحُبُّ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ. This is loving and hating for the sake of Allah. So we don't hate a person because of the person he is, but our love is based upon the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this love and hatred that we have for the sake of Allah, we may love a righteous person more. However, we may show more kindness to a person whom our love for him is less. Because the actions which you do is based upon where is the potential benefit and where is the potential harm. So by showing this disobedient sinner, and we don't love him like we love the alim, like we love the sunni, because this person is a person of innovation, or this person is a person of sins, but by us showing him affection, showing him kindness, maybe he will come back to al-Islam. So loving and hating is one thing, and then how you deal with that person, this is a different thing. So for example, we have an aversion to the people of kufr. Al-hubbu wal-bughdu fillah. There is love and there is aversion for Allah. The Muslims, we have a base of love because they are Muslims. And then that love differs. As for the people of kufr, then there is no hub, there is no love. Because they are people of absolute kufr. But this aversion to them, it doesn't necessitate from us that we oppress them, or we don't show them kindness, or we don't show them mercy. And sometimes you might find a natural love in your heart towards a non-Muslim, and at the same time you have an aversion to them because of their kufr, like a Muslim child has towards his mother who is a non-Muslim. Even though she is a non-Muslim, a person of shirk, he still has a natural love, and this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, he has a level of an aversion to her because of the kufr which she is upon. So differentiate between these two things. We have to love every single Muslim regardless of their madhab or their sect, as long as they are upon al-Islam. Then this love, it differs. The people of Iman, the people of Taqwa, the people of righteousness, because Allah loves them more, we love them more. So that to us, the companions are more beloved than any other Muslim. This shows us that Iman, it goes up and down, and love goes up and down. And then differentiate between how you interact with that person. You may love somebody less, and yet you may act with him in a way which is more gentle, more kind, more loving than the one that you love more. Only because there's a greater maslaha in guiding him back to the truth. And the Prophet said, you do not have Iman until you love for your brother that which you love for yourself, from beliefs. So if you love Tawheed for yourself, then you have to love Tawheed for the people. So you go out and you teach people about At-Tawheed. If you love guidance for yourself, then you have to love guidance for the rest of the people. So you go and you spread the guidance. If you dislike shirk for yourself and your children, then you dislike shirk for other people and their children. So you go advise people against a shirk. And also statements. If you don't like for people to swear to you, then you don't like for people to swear to your Muslim brothers and sisters. And also actions. If you don't like to be oppressed, then you don't like for your Muslim brother and sister to be oppressed from the matters of the deen and the matters of the dunya. So if you love a good education for yourself and your children, then you love a good education for others and their children. If you love success for your household, then you love success for the household of others. And this is the meaning of لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you will attain the true essence of Iman until he loves for his brother, meaning his Muslim brother, that which he loves for himself, mutlaqan, absolutely. Now a person may say that it is difficult for me to reach this level of Iman that I can love for my Muslim brother and sister that which I love for myself. I find this difficult to do. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, he has some beautiful speech regarding this. He said, فَإِنْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ, if a person says, هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةُ قَدْ تَكُونَ صَعْبًا, that this issue of me loving for everybody else that which I love for myself, this could be very difficult for me. أي أن تحب لأخيك ما تحب لنفسك, that you love for your brother that which you love for yourself. بمعنى, which means أن تحب لأخيك أن يكون عالما, you love for yourself to be a scholar. So for me to love for all of the Muslims to be scholars, I find it difficult. وأن يكون غنيا, and that he is rich. وأن يكون ذا مال وبنين, and this person he is prosperous and he has children. وأن يكون مستقيما, and he is practicing. قد يصعب هذا, this is going to be difficult for me. Ibn Uthaymeen says, فنقول, so we say to him, هذا لا يصعب, this is not difficult. إذا مرنت نفسك علي, if you cultivate and you train yourself upon it, if you cultivate yourself upon this, that I have to love for my brother that which I love for myself, and you go against your hawa, your desires, which cause jealousy inside you or malice inside you towards another Muslim, then it becomes easy for you. أَمَّا أَن تُطِيعَ نَفْسَكْ فِي هَوَاهَا, as for you obeying yourself in everything which it desires, فَنَعْمْ سَيَكُونُ هَذَا صَعَبًا, then it will be difficult. So if a person always tries to foster this outlook and foster these thoughts in himself and in his family of loving the Muslims, that which he loves for himself, then Allah will make it easy for a person. But if a person succumbs to every one of his desires and succumbs to every bit of his jealousy, then of course it is difficult. And then there's another issue. He says, فَإِذَا قَالَ تَلْمِيذٌ مِنَ التَّلَامِيذِ, let's say one student, he says, هَلْ يَدْخُلْ فِي ذَلِكَ أَنْ أُلَقِّنْ زَمِيلِي فِي الْإِخْتِبَارِ, that does it enter into this hadith that I should cheat and tell my fellow students the results of the exam or the answers to the exam because I love success for myself, so I want to love success for the others, and therefore I'm going to help people cheating in the exams and I'm going to give them the answers. Does this enter into the hadith? And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, لَا لِيَنَّ هَذَا غِشْ, he said, no, because this is cheating. وَهُوَ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ إِسَاءَةٌ لِأَخِيكَ, and in reality you are actually making things worse for your Muslim brother. لِأَنَّكَ إِذَا عَوَّدْتَهُ الْخِيَانَةِ اِعْتَادَ عَلَيْهَا, because if you make him accustomed to cheating and being deceptive, then he will assume this and he will become a cheater and a person of deception for the rest of his life. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَسَلَّمُ.